it's a very, very exciting future from that perspective, when all of these things will be fully ingrained in our day-to-day life. And each and every one of us will probably have an AI personal assistant. You can improve your efficiency and productivity 100x.
We are Smart OSC. This is Commerce Talk, the podcast that keeps you one step ahead. I am your host, Aziza O'Byrne, and today we're doing what we always do, bringing you a really exciting and a very insightful conversation. We're exploring the realms of customer experience, retail media, and innovation with one of Asia's leading online fashion destinations, Zalora. And bringing this conversation to life, joining me today is Alan Dobrea. Alan is the person who's responsible for leading the marketing solutions and partnerships across Southeast Asia for Zalora. He also is responsible for Zalora's advertising platform, where his team helps deliver really great multi-channel campaigns for thousands of brands that they work with, and it helps them get closer to their customers and connect with relevant audiences. And it also brings customers some incredible experiences as well. So he's going to be chatting all about that. He is also a global shaper at the World Economic Forum, a regular keynote speaker, a natural born innovator who I believe leads with empathy and curiosity. There is so much he has to share, and I'm so excited to bring this episode to you. So let's go. Alan, you are very welcome to Commerce Talk. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Aziza.
Thank you. We normally start our episodes with a little bit of a game, a little bit of an icebreaker, and we call it Prices and Pitfall. And normally what I will do is I'll ask you if you could tell us any priceless purchase that you've made online or any pitfall purchase that you've made online, because as you probably know, people's online purchasing behaviors can tell you a lot about them. So I'd love to know, do you have any prices or pitfall purchases that you've made online?
Yeah, I think the best purchase that I made online, and I still have it, and I think I bought this like, wow, it's been 14, 15 years ago, is a blender, you know, for smoothies and protein shakes from Amazon. And I bought it when I was a student, and I still have it today. That I think I've carried that with me to I don't know how many houses and countries, etc. And it still works. And I think I paid £20 for it at the time. So it's definitely a good investment because I pretty much use it every day.
Oh my God, what a time to be alive. I love that a blender has been such an integral part of your life for so long.
Well, it's just, I just keep using it and it works. I mean, right? That's what you want. You want something that lasts, at least for me.
Yeah, 100%. What about pitfall? Do you have any pitfalls?
I don't think so. I mean, I've had clothes that didn't fit properly, but then I just, you know, I just returned them. I think what I normally do when I'm not sure about the sizing, I just buy, you know, both sizes and then just do a return for what doesn't fit. And that normally works for me, but I haven't had anything very, I guess, very strange or anything like that. So I guess I must have been lucky so far. I don't know. Let's see. Or maybe I need to shop more.
I think it says a lot about you, to be honest. I would say that you are very measured and, you know, you're reliable, you're thoughtful in your actions and potentially not 100% sure about taking risks online with online purchasing. Would that be true?
Could be. Yeah.
Thank you. So now that we have a little bit of information about you, I'm wondering if you could tell our guests just a little bit about your role as the head of marketing at solutions and partnerships at Zalora and what your current focus on is within the business.
Yeah. So at Zalora, I work with the brands with my team. So we are basically the in-house agency for the brands. We're a cutting edge marketing unit. So we offer solutions to the brand partners. So we have over 5,000 brands on the platform. And these solutions are across the full marketing funnel. So we work with them across, you know, performance marketing, all of the influencer marketing. It could even be pop-ups, TV, out of home, radio. So it's quite a good mix. And the beauty of it is that we are able to use our extensive reach because we are the leading fashion e-commerce platform in Southeast Asia. And then we are able to tap into the expertise of all of the different channel experts that we have in our marketing department across the regions. So that's kind of what we do here in our team, and it's been very, very exciting to, you know, grow this part of the business for the last 6 years now.
It's amazing, and I can't wait to get into some of the really exciting things that you've been working on and kind of some of the things that Zalora is bringing to the regions that it touches on. When I was looking at you as a leader in your space, I was really impressed by, you know, the background that you had. You spent a huge chunk of time, in London working with the renowned M&S brand, so Marks and Spencer's. So me being from Ireland, we absolutely love that brand. So I was wondering what motivated you in your decision to transition from London working with M&S to head over to this side of the world. And in that time, what kind of learnings or insights have you gained?
I think it's something that was always in the back of my mind to move to Asia. The reason behind that is that I did study exchanges. I was lucky enough to do study exchanges in China and India. So that gave me a good insight and overview into, you know, the two big parts of Asia, but also into, you know, neighboring countries. And it was quite simple. The equation was that the growth is in Asia, or at least, you know, for the foreseeable future, it looks like one of the biggest growth areas in terms of, you know, business, e-commerce, etc. Lots of metrics pointed towards Asia. So I always had that in the back of my mind. And then during my time at M&S, we also had some presence in Asia. So I had exposure to those markets as well. And it kind of reinforced that point that Asia is a great place to be if you want to have or be part of the growth story and you want to have this, you know, growth career trajectory. So that's basically the rationale behind it. It was just, I think, the, you know, the right place to be if you wanted to be part of a, you know, high growth environment across the board.
I really love what you said there, is to be part of that growth story. And I think that is bang on the description for kind of coming over to this side of the world as well. And, you know, when you had moved across, I remember hearing you speak about consumer behavior. And there was this kind of shift between Europe and Asia, whereas in Europe at the time that you had probably just moved, European shoppers did most of their shopping on desktop. But then when you came over to this side of the world, you saw that Asia was embracing a mobile first approach. And when you talk about the growth trajectory here, I think that in its own kind of symbolized that rapid growth rate that was here in the e-commerce industry. So I'm wondering, has that growth that you speak about, has that shaped the Zalora brand since you've kind of been with that brand over the last couple of years? And if so, how are you continuing to maybe watch and stay ahead of those evolving customer needs?
Absolutely. So I think that was one of the key differences that I noticed when I moved here, the fact that Asia is much more mobile first in their approach. And that's also due to the fact that a lot of the people here in some of the markets don't have access to desktop computers. So they leapfrog directly into, you know, the world of apps and mobile games, etc. So that's kind of the you know, one of the key behavior shifts. So then when you're building anything, any service, ride sharing or online shopping, etc., you have to think about, you know, what is the customer experience going to be like, and which devices are these customers interfacing with, the platform or the solution that you're building. So I think that's been pivotal, because you do have to, you know, really think about the customer needs and how, you know, how you're building things, and how do you create that mobile engaging experience? So that was the first lesson or focus area for me, was to, you know, really get up to speed, you know, with mobile apps, with the UX UI, you know, customer experience, because that's a big part of you know, what we do at Zalora, making sure that the customer have the best, you know, customer experience possible, and that manifests its way, you know, its way to, you know, all the touch points. So from the moment that you, you know, sign up for an account to the moment you start browsing, you want to make, you know, we want to make sure that the customer is able to, you know, be served or, you know, find the most relevant items and be inspired. Also in the checkout process, if you think about that part of the journey, we want to make sure that the payment options that we offer are tailored to the different markets, because again, Southeast Asia, the markets we operate in here, they're very, you know, diverse, and each market is unique with, you know, different languages, different payment methods. Cash on delivery, for example, is still quite big in some of the markets here. So it's very, very interesting. And you really need to, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the customer, I would say, and try to really understand how you can serve them best. And that's basically been, you know, the trajectory here as well. It's kind of always building on how we can, you know, serve the customer best through amazing customer experiences.
I love that so much. I really do, because it's, you're going beyond any assumptions that you might have. And I think a lot of our behavior maybe as marketeers in the past would have been based on presumption or wondering, you know, creating a persona for a customer, whatever that may be, and presuming that this journey is for them. Whereas in what you do, it's, there's so many wings to the brand and the company that you're working in that everything is backed by, you know, that wonderful mixture of data and knowledge, local knowledge and local expertise, and what you're learning while also experimenting and trialing and creating new products to ensure that that customer is put at the center of absolutely everything you do, which again, I think lies within that rapid growth here, because you almost have to keep learning as you're going and keep testing and trialing with your customer at the heart of everything. We spoke to a guest recently, Soothing Fu. So she's the global head of branded insights at HP. And just in what you said there about, you know, the local experience for everyone, she spoke about the importance of brands having a global presence, but a local soul, which I love that kind of saying. I'd love to know with Zalora, how you keep that local soul within the regions that you operate. I know you mentioned there making sure that even just languages are considered in each market and everything like that. So if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, totally agree with that statement. I think that is also the key to be able to win in the Southeast Asia market overall. You have to adapt to each individual market because they are very different from one another. So definitely, I think language, first of all, I think you need to have that localization and making sure that you also really understand the local customer, because it's quite different in each of the markets. So with that in mind, then you adapt your, you know, product offering, your services, your assortment to the local market. Then the next one would be, I would say, in terms of the different marketing, let's say, that you might do in different markets. Again, you have to localize. So in certain markets, you have Chinese New Year, for example, being you know, one of the big events. In other markets, you might have Christmas. In some markets, you might have Hari Raya. So again, you need to make sure that you are adapting your marketing calendar and also engaging with the customers based on what's you know, important to them in those markets. Customer experience wise, I think we just talked about it, but yeah, having access to, again, the payments that are relevant, bank transfer, cash on delivery might be big in some markets. In other markets, it's cards mainly, or wallets, etc. So you need to really adapt to the, you know, the changing needs and preferences of the customers. In terms of you know, the marketing messaging, I think there's nuances to that, and also the, you know, the different partnerships that you might have in different markets, be it with other brands or with influencers, for example. So I think all of that needs to, you know, needs to be taken, you know, into account, and then you need to have that agility and that responsiveness, that adaptability to the markets. But it's not a one size fits all approach. I think that's to me the key takeaway from this, especially when you're working in Southeast Asia. It's very, very different from market to market. You really need to, you know, to adapt to that.
I love that the adaptability as well, as that word is so great when you're describing that. Another thing that I saw that you have done was basically merging your data, your partnerships, your storytelling, and more with the advertising platform Zap. Can you tell us the story of finding that opportunity and kind of let our listeners know what it is and what you've learned from it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Zap, or the Zalora advertising platform, is basically our offering to our brand partners from the marketing perspective. So it's been something we've been building now for 6-7 years, and it's evolved a lot every single year, which makes it super exciting. And what we basically have now is a fully fledged platform where brands can launch campaigns across different channels, measure their performance in real time. So we've managed to, you know, really integrate all of our, you know, data sets to enable the brands to tap into our, you know, audiences and make sure that they have the, you know, the best performance possible on our platform, but also outside of our platform. So we do offer full funnel marketing solutions. And like I mentioned in the beginning, we work with, you know, thousands of brands every single year. And it's definitely been a really exciting journey building that tech platform and also, you know, delivering all these, you know, really amazing campaigns together with our brand partners.
It seems to me like it's just a great area for transparency, and also just kind of having a focused collaborative approach with all of your partners and kind of handing over some of the keys to them and be like, you have a full view of this, you can launch and kind of live within this platform and you can see the success of it yourself, which is gorgeous. Yeah, how has it been so far for you, like the learnings to date?
Yeah, I think it's been a cool journey because, again, you get the inputs from the brand partners. You also look at what's happening in the market. And here we're operating in this new exciting space called retail media. And how I look at it, or the way I kind of look at it, is like it's the third wave of digital marketing in a way. So I think the first wave was the focus on banners, SEO, search engine optimization, pay-per-click, you know, like those kind of Google, Yahoo, you know, those kind of AOL days in the beginning. Then we had the next wave, which was social media and influencer marketing. I think after the social media platforms took on and everyone was focused on advertising through those channels, and still is, rightfully so, because it's one of the key channels of engagement these days. So we had that, you know, pay-per-click, SEO, then social media. And now we're moving into this retail media focus where you are able to, you know, engage with the customer as they are, you know, literally one click away from purchase. And I think that that's the exciting opportunity. And retail media is now the fastest growing marketing channel, according to many studies and reports out there across the world. So we
we are definitely seeing a shift in focus from marketers into retail media. And I guess that's why it's such an exciting space to be able to build in, because it you know, there is a lot of focus and a lot of things to be done in the space. And in terms of what we've been, you know, what we've been building, I guess, you know, this having this tech platform, it has been very rewarding and a very exciting journey, because it's kind of like you're always, or every day you're building or improving on it. And that's the beauty of having you know, a tech product under your roadmap. You always find something that can be slightly better, or there might be, you know, some small thing that can be tweaked. So that's been a journey in itself. And it's really cool to, you know, to work internally with our tech team, with, you know, the commercial teams, with marketing teams, with external teams, with the brand partners. So it's really collaborative in that way. And then ultimately, I think what's most exciting is also how the campaigns get executed, and being able to, you know, really show the performance and make sure that we're driving tangible results, because ultimately, that's the scope of the platform and the work that we're doing, is to make sure that we are delivering for our brand partners, and then also for our customers. They, you know, they get to experience you know, relevant ads, relevant campaigns to them, experiences like again, like offline pop-ups, you know, really exciting campaigns. So that's kind of been the journey so far, and it's still ongoing, I would say.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And there's so many things there that you mentioned that are just so nice to hear, because even in terms of that collaborative approach, and as you say, you're continuously learning, even on a campaign by campaign basis. But I think that collaboration between all of the different departments within your business, but also the departments with your partners, and that collaboration together is so exciting. And even as you mentioned, retail media and the different waves that we've seen, because I know, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, I saw you talk about, you predicted that TikTok and AI were going to be these big players in the fashion e-commerce industry. And you were bang on with those predictions. And, you know, now that you're speaking about retail media, it's really interesting. How had those areas, or, you know, TikTok and AI, how have they influenced or contributed to the growth of Zalora? Because I know that you were in the news recently for your use of generative AI when it comes to conversational shopping. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think both of those have been important. And so when I talk about TikTok, I'm kind of referring here, I guess, the growth of, continuous growth, let's call it, of social media and new social media channels. And, you know, TikTok is one of them. And also combined with influencers, and everyone can be an influencer, this idea of, you know, micro nano influencers, I think it's also super relevant in the Southeast Asia context as well. So I do think that in itself has been, you know, an important channel of growth for Zalora, in terms of being present and actively engaging with customers via the different social media channels, and you know, also working closely with different types of influencers across our markets. So it's been one of the, I guess, pivotal marketing channels for us, and I do believe it will continue to, you know, to be an important part of our marketing mix, just because that's kind of how, you know, a lot of customers make their decisions through social media, and by, you know, seeing what other people do or shop, or, you know, what services they use, etc. And like I said, anybody can be an influencer. So you or I can also influence our, you know, peer group and people that follow us on different social networks. And I think that's going to continue in Southeast Asia, and probably in other markets around the world. And then moving on to the AI, I think from Zalora perspective, AI has always been embedded because Zalora is, I would say, a tech first, data first kind of company that was built, you know, as a tech company first and foremost. So then it has always had this AI embedded within its, you know, within its soul, let's say, from the, you know, first days, because everything or most of the things here have been built in-house, and the whole app experience, like I mentioned in the beginning, is something that is mainly driven, you know, by a team of super talented, you know, engineers and product managers, with the collaboration of all the different teams within the business, of course. And I think it's a really interesting space, AI in general, in terms of how it's accelerated in the last couple of years, especially in the last year, I think. And what we've been doing is looking at new opportunities or new ways to incorporate, you know, these developments into our customer proposition, into our customer experience. So we've enabled a few new integrations with the latest AI developments, especially from OpenAI perspective. And I think we've named it Titan, which I think is a really cool name. But there's a few areas of focus. I think one is enhancing that discovery piece that we discussed in the beginning. So making that search or browsing experience faster, more accurate for customers, having conversational shopping assistant. So, you know, having that, again, that customer focus approach in terms of how we better serve and help our customers, you know, be able to find or be inspired by, you know, by the latest trends and looks. And then internally also for the team, looking at automations, so making the life easier for every single department and every person working in those departments, with various technologies to automate different things that, let's say, maybe are a bit more manual. So enhancing the productivity, having, again, internal chatbots where you could, you know, just ask the chatbot, use it like your assistant, ask them, hey, what were the sales for yesterday, for example, and then you would get an immediate answer, so you don't have to, you know, open a report or go into a dashboard. So those are the kind of things that this is enabling. And I think it's a very, very exciting future from that perspective, when all of these things will be, you know, fully ingrained in our day-to-day life. And each and one of us will probably have an AI personal assistant. You can literally improve your efficiency and productivity 100x.
What a time to be alive. Even the end part there that you're talking about, the reporting, to ask the sales for yesterday and have it straight away without having to go into reports. Well, that is a dream.
Like, exactly.
Even to just question data and have kind of that assistance with that and build out stories from that. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about the importance of storytelling with data and the importance of literacy. Whereas I think with that future, maybe that you're speaking of, is that everyone will have access to this, and it just makes that storytelling and that making sense and asking why of your data and all of these different things to help then assist you with your function in general is just gorgeous. And the time saving as well. Like, I'm sure you've been in that space too, being sheets deep in Excel trying to find little nuggets to use to tell a story, and it's just it's a very exciting future.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, speaking of kind of that, in terms of, I'm really interested in your day to day, right? And I know that saying goes, no 2 days are the same, but I see you're delivering brilliant keynote speeches, everything, and you're super busy. How do you plan for the future while also staying on top of your day-to-day tasks?
Yeah, I think about it as having this work-life integration. I think that's one interesting concept that I've heard from various people. And I think that that to me makes a lot of sense, because if you enjoy what you do and you kind of integrated into your personal life as well, in a way, then it doesn't feel like work. So I feel like that's one approach that I have as well as probably a lot of other people have. So it's not that I'm trying to you know, really separate the two. Obviously, it's good to have, you know, downtime and, you know, recharge time, etc. But I think that works well for me. And I think I'm also lucky to have a really good team that, you know, is really on top of everything. And, you know, we are able to juggle hundreds of different campaigns and projects at any given time. And then I think for me personally, I also like to have quarterly objectives and key results, you know, from a work perspective, but also personally. And then you can obviously review those with different cadences. But I do like to do a review every couple of weeks to see where I'm at for that quarter. And then at the end of the quarter, obviously, and then reset or set new ones for the next quarter. As and when needed. And like I said, those could be work related, but they can also be, you know, more personal, like in terms of health, fitness, etc. So that's my approach to it.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's really nice. Now, a question that I love to ask our guests, and it's my final question for you, which is, if you were to go back in time, what is one piece of advice that you would offer your younger self?
I think it's more to do with self-belief and trusting the process and trusting that things are going to work out. So I think that's probably, you know, giving that reassurance, that's probably the advice that I would give my younger self, is just to trust that things are going in the right direction and things are going to work out. I think there's a lot of times where, you know, people have self-doubt, and maybe that can stem from various reasons, but I do feel that having that, you know, self-belief, you know, helps a lot. So, yeah, just trust the process and have that self-belief.
Trust the process. That's a great way to finish things up here. Alan, thank you so much for giving us your time. Thank you for joining us. And yeah, we look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Aziza. I really enjoyed it.